Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are continuing our examination of a question and answer session known as a fireside, at least that's the title that's been given to it, that was held in Stockholm, Sweden back in 2010. And the reason for this meeting was because a lot of the Swedish members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints were very concerned about some of the things that they had been reading on the internet about LDS history. Two Mormon historians were present, Marlon K. Jensen and Richard Turley Jr., and they were there to answer the questions that many of these Latter-day Saints had regarding LDS history. We're now to the point where the questions have already been listed, and now they're going to start answering the questions. The first question had to do with how the Mormon Church depicts its history in art. And one of the concerns that was raised was that the pictures that they see don't really reflect how that event happened historically. The first question has to do with the Book of Mormon, and Richard Turley is going to try to answer that. And again, he says, as we mentioned yesterday, they have to be quick, concise answers because they don't have time to go into a lot of detail, which is sad because they really should have set the time aside in order to help these members better understand why the Mormon Church does things the way it does. So this first part has to do with the pictures of how the Book of Mormon came about. If we look even in the new manual that they just came out with, the Gospel Doctrine Manual, that they're not even studying yet, it's the Joseph Fielding Smith Manual. We notice that there is a section in here, Eric, that talks about how the witnesses saw the plates. On page 128, it has a picture of the angel Moroni holding these gold plates, and Joseph Smith, and we have to assume that this is Martin Harris and Oliver Cowdery, because in this particular scene that goes along with Volume 1 in the history of the church, Martin Harris was not there. And what they don't tell you, though, is that prayer was necessary for the witnesses in order to see the plates. Mm-hmm. They had to pray. And on page 131, it says that they beheld the plates in the presence of an angel and heard the voice of God speaking to them from the heavens. There were eight other witnesses who also beheld the plates, handled them, examined carefully the engravings upon them as they were shown them by Joseph Smith. Now, what's missing in that account, though, Eric? What's missing is it doesn't say that they beheld the plates in a vision.
Right.
And page 55 of Volume 1 of the History of the Church makes that very clear, that the three witnesses, at least, saw the plates in vision. That's not how it's told here, and certainly the picture that is found on page 128 of the Joseph Fielding Smith Manual does not give that impression either, that it's in a vision. You see from the picture that they're actually looking at what we are led to believe are tangible physical plates.
And what you're describing right there is the problem that these disgruntled members are having, because they're getting only parts of the truth. They're not getting everything. And when you're looking at these pictures, we have to ask, who authorized for a picture like that, or for any of the other pictures of Joseph Smith translating the plates by running his fingers over the gold plates? Somebody had to approve that. You said off air, it's not just some flunky who is being paid minimum wage, and he and the artist get together and say, hey, let's throw this in. This is something, when you put in the Ensign, the official magazine of the church, when you put it in Gospel Principles, one of the manuals, or you put it in any of the teachings of presence of the church, as you just mentioned, Joseph Fielding Smith, somebody, the first presidency, has its stamp of approval on this, and they're not going to let anything just get by them.
And that's why I had a real hard time with Richard Turley's answer. He says, so what we have in church art very often is artists giving their idea of what it must have been like, But if you go back to the original documents, and if you get back to the original documents that were sometimes difficult for people to find originally, what you see is a different picture. Well, Mr. Turley, it's not that hard to find what the original documents actually say about this particular event where the witnesses supposedly saw the gold plates, beheld them in vision. That is left out of the narrative. And when I bring that up to many Latter-day Saints, at first they don't believe me. They think I'm lying when I am quoting from their own source, Volume 1, page 55 of the History of the Church. Look it up yourself, folks. It makes it very clear that when Joseph Smith finally went over and talked to Martin Harris, they prayed again and they saw the plates as the other men did in vision.
Pictures are very important. If you're going to teach a kindergarten class and you're going to use pictures, they're going to remember the story based on the pictures, not on what was said. And I think the church needs to understand that what it puts in its magazines and in its manuals with these pictures, it's going to be believed very deeply by these people that this is the way it is. And when they find out it didn't happen that way, you're going to have the kind of situation that we've run into here in Stockholm, Sweden. You're going to have members who want answers to their legitimate questions.
Another picture that comes to mind regarding the gold plates has to do with Joseph Smith translating the plates, and I'm assuming it's Oliver Cowdery that's sitting right next to him, looking at the gold plates, along with writing down what I'm assuming Joseph Smith is telling him. That did not happen. It did not happen, yet I see that picture all over the place in Mormon publications. But here was the question that came up after this horrible explanation given by Richard Turley. The question was, but it's not so much the picture, it's more the teaching I'm after. And that's a great question. Because the picture is not depicting what the actual history or the teaching sometimes is from these manuals. And I can understand their frustration. So Turley says, you're basically saying that the way the story is told, the way you've heard it traditionally, differs from what you see in the historical sources.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. You got it. But here's the problem. It's all over the place in church publications. If a person who did not know the story looked at these pictures, they would get a complete misunderstanding of what was actually taking place.
And then he goes on and says, Turley says, and that is, that kind of thing does happen. And what we're trying to do as a department, the church's department, is to bring the curriculum in conformity with the sources.
Well, oh, come on. You're going to tell me that the Mormon church is actually going to put a picture of Joseph Smith with his face in a hat?
We haven't seen it.
I'm waiting for that day. I'm waiting for that day, Mr. Turley, when you actually do that. I don't know if that's really going to happen, but if it does, I will say that I was wrong on that. But that certainly is not the way Mormons are led to believe.
But if you're going to bring the curriculum in conformity with the sources, then don't put in pictures that mislead people and give them wrong perceptions as to what history is all about in the Mormon church.
Well, in this new manual, when it says that they beheld the plates, if you read that, you would think they were looking at tangible, physical plates.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true. But does it try to make that clear in the manual? No. So again, I would say that these members have a very good question, and that's a very legitimate complaint.
You've seen pictures on the internet where they've done Photoshop work to them and made them out to be something completely different. That's kind of what's going on here. They have Photoshopped the real picture, and instead of seeing what really was there, they're getting a different picture that is not in conformity with history, and I think that's a sham.
The question was then raised, well, how did this translation actually happen? And this is, again, where I think that the Mormon church once again proves itself to not be trustworthy. Because Turley says, well, how did it actually happen? Okay, again, very concisely here. Joseph Smith translated the Book of Mormon, but translation as a term is not the type of translation you and I might think about. Have you read that very often in regular manuals? Have you really heard that from conference messages, that translation as a term is not the type of translation you and I might think about? Well, if we might not think about it the way you're assuming it was done, then doesn't it behoove the church to explain that right up front.
Come up with another term that doesn't confuse people, because we have an idea of what translation means. The average person does. And if that's not translation, then come up with something else.
He goes on to says, I worked as a professional translator in Japan. I translated electronics and engineering documents from Japanese characters into English. I did that, you know, one character, one word, very, very slowly. Joseph Smith didn't translate that way. Oh, really? That's not what David Whitmer said.
Yeah.
Now, David Whitmer, in his address to all believers in Christ, gives a description that sounds just like that, that he would read the characters off of the rock, the seer stone, and then when it was read back to him and it was correct, it would go on to the next set of characters. But Turley's saying that Joseph Smith didn't translate that way. Joseph Smith didn't understand the language that he was reading. He needed the Lord's help in doing it. He goes on to say that Joseph Smith's translation was by revelation. Now, I get a lot of people who write me from all over the world wanting to translate what we have on our website into other languages. I can guarantee you I would never even consider their services if they were going to say, but don't worry, I'm going to translate it by revelation. That's not what I want. That's not the impression I'm getting from Mormons when they tell me that Joseph Smith translated the plates from the Reformed Egyptian into English, or in the case of the Book of Abraham, from the Egyptian into English. They know that there's no way of proving this, and when it comes to the Book of Abraham, they know for a fact that the Egyptian does not come across in English the way Joseph Smith said. So they have to come up with this excuse, but they don't tell that excuse up front. You have to challenge them first, and then they come up with, well, it's not a translation like you would think.
You have to know the right questions to ask. Based on what these people have found out through the internet, they're coming up with some good questions that the average member who's not looking on to the outside of the church would never come up with.
And then they ask about the hat, and then Turley's answer to that was just amazing. You know, why a hat? And first of all, why were the plates needed, Turley asked. The plates were needed because the plates were real? And they were preserved and they were passed down from generation to generation. What does that mean? The plates were needed because the plates were real? I thought the plates were needed because on it had the actual rendering into English what is in the Book of Mormon today. We'll discuss this some more tomorrow.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. When trying to understand the doctrines of our Latter-day Saint friends, family members, and co-workers, it can be very difficult to know what to believe. In his resource titled, In Their Own Words, A Collection of Mormon Quotations, Mormonism Research Ministry's Bill McKeever compiles some of the very best Mormon quotations that will help you better understand what LDS leaders and scholars have said on such issues as atonement, exaltation, and pre-existence. Written in an encyclopedic format, In Their Own Words provides quotes on literally dozens of issues, alphabetically listed for quick reference that can be found in a matter of seconds. No more wondering what Mormonism's leaders have said on any topic, and this resource is available in both book format as well as on CD disc. Just load the PDF file onto your computer and you're ready to do valuable research. These are the very best quotes that Mormonism Research Ministry uses on a regular basis. In Their Own Words is available now at mrm.org. Again, mrm.org. Get it today.